wat mense kom deel, ons bedieningse hart. Julle sal hoor as die Here kom deel met die woord, dit wat die Here vir hom hê nie kom wys het om met ons te kom deel, is presies wat die woord van ons vra as 'n leefwyse. Not as one action and every now and then, but as a lifestyle. So mag die Here vanoggend regtig met ons ook deur sy woord kom praat en ons is afhanklik dat die Heilige Gees die woord aan ons openbaar, dat hy dit in ons vestig en dat hy ons self wys wat die woord in ons eie spesifieke lewe beteken. Ek dink dit is Jerome wat gesê het, our theme for this year as Shofar is being one. Being one. I think in other words, it says love one another. And that's the topic or the this morning's sermon is the focus area. En miskien sit jy vanoggend hier en sê, ons laat so baie dit gehoor, he. We know it. En die vraag vanoggend is nie om het te define nie. Die poging is not to define love this morning or to learn something about love. Is I think the challenge for us is to allow the word to read our lives. Normally we read the word, but as we read it, we should allow that same word to read us. And just be humble before God and open before God and allow his word to read your life. That's what we want. We want God's word to form us. I think being one is not only, and loving one another is not only the theme for Shofar. We as a congregation, and wanneer ons toe ons elders saam gebid het, het die Here vir ons gewys, hierdie is die tema wat gevestig moet word tot in elke persoon se lewe in ons gemeente. Alex aanbieding van hospitality was so 'n mooi prentjie van die ervaring wat ons begeerte is vir elke persoon in ons gemeente. To feel at home, to feel welcome, to feel connected, to feel cared for, to feel loved. I want to read a scripture of I want to have so much to share on how can we love one another or what is it, where are we with loving one another as a congregation. I want to read the first scripture, religion that is pure and undefiled before God, the Father is this, to visit orphans, widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Ek self bevind my in 'n plek, and I think most of us do, as ons al die werkverpligtinge en die skoolaktiwiteite en take en our social engagements, our time is taken up. And my question this morning for us is, how are we going to care? How are we going to love? How are we going to be obedient to the scripture with our programs as it is? Visiting someone takes more than swiping a Visa card. Tweeting or Facebook oor een of ander krisis in die wêreld of in ons omgewing is good. But it takes more to do something about it. And the challenge for us this morning, and where I hope God will lead each one of us uniquely in, but is to invest your life in real people. Can I say it again? To invest your life in real people. And then as we've heard, and ek dink is vir my maar net hoe die Here met ons van die begin van die jaar af gestap het, is compassion is costly. Can I say it again? Compassion, loving one another, is costly. And therefore, if the foundation that the Lord has laid from the beginning of year, and it was all about dying, come and die, dying and denying oneself. Without that, it's impossible to love. And we'll see it this morning from the word. It is not, we are not able to do it. En ek wil vir oggend net weer by Matteus, ons ken al die skrifte, but just to remind you, to love one another is the most important command. We know that. There's no other command more important than that. And each one of us, ek dink ons het, Bertus is die mannegroep wat ons saam gedoen het in die Kaap, wat the only question when we walk away from something or someone is that we need to answer is, did we love? It's the most important question you have to answer day in and day out. Engagement in and out is, did I love or not? Not whether I was right or whether I was this, but did I love? So just to remind us from Matthew 22, 37 to 39, and he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. This is Jesus' answer when they asked him, so which is the greatest command? This is his answer, to love God. And then he said, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The most important command. And how easily we live without this command. How easily we miss it. Ons is net nie teenwoordig aan dit nie. Ek dink vir myself vir die Here die laaste ons kan baie skrifte oor dit lees as jy aantekening wil maak, ons sal deur uitstuur John 15:12 en John 13:35, but this people will know that you are my disciples when you love one another. Without loving one another, there is no attraction to Christ or to the body of Christ for anyone else. Sure, ek in my opleerswerk het, ek kan nie onthou wie dit geskryf het nie, het hierdie beginsel my getref. En ons weet dit, maar toe ek het weer lees, kom ons lees net, ons weet die hoofstuk in die woord wat oor die liefde handel, staan in 1 Korintiërs 13. En ons wil vanoggend by 'n paar verse van 1 Korintiërs 13 stilstaan onder andere. Maar vers 13 is, ons hou daarvan, we like to remind one another that love is more than lip service. It's an action. Love is a deed. Love is something we do. Sure, but when I read this scripture again, I was challenged that it's much more than a deed or an action. Much, much more. Because we can have actions and deeds without any love, void of love. And this is what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13. If you give away all I have, if I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I have gained nothing. So, alhoewel om lief te hê, in aksie vra, when we're busy with these actions, without love, void of love, we can be compared to the Pharisees. We agree with that. Sure, and I was challenged by this. Many times I do the right thing, but is love present in it or not? Ek weet wat die regte ding is om te doen. Maar as die liefde nie in het teenwoordig is nie, en saam met dit gaan nie. Colin reminded me of a scripture that we received end of last year in intercession, and I just want to make one observation from it that can be made much more from the scripture, but let's just quickly read two things from the scripture. 1 Peter 1, 22-23, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Gaan gou net terug in die skrif. Ek dink een punt wat ek hiervan wil maak, en ek sal nou meer oor dit sê. Earnestly, die Afrikaans, het iemand die Afrikaans oop daar, dit sê met inspanning. Vurig, met inspanning sê van die vertalings. It means it takes effort to love sometimes. Ons sal nou in 1 Korintiërs 13 sê hoeveel effort dit vat. It takes a lot of effort to love. So therefore it's not a feeling. If we go by our feelings, love is definitely not a feeling. It is an action, but it's accompanied with something more than just an action. Actions alone is not loving. The right action alone is not loving. I think so earnestly, there is a, from the Afrikaans, and we'll see. So what I want to say is love takes effort. To love takes effort. En die ander gedeelte wat ek hier uit wil haal, wat ons moet encourage, kom ons bly net om na die volgende skyfie toe. Since you have been born again. So what it says is, all of us that have been born again can love. Liefde het in ons lewe ingekom en die vermoë om lief te hê, kom omdat ons wedergebore is. So it must encourage us and it leaves us without an excuse. No one can use his personality, his circumstances, his gifting, his What else do we use? Our age. Whatever. So, when we are born again, this says, we can love earnestly and fervently with a pure heart. We can. It has started when we were born again. So we must be reminded by that. But more than that is, we see throughout Scripture that Paul and all the writers encourages each one to bring it to a fullness, to grow in it. We have received the ability, but let's grow in it. And this morning, I hope God can help us to grow in it. Ek het net gepraat oor John 15 vers 12. En ek wil weer sê, ek het 'n paar goed oor liefde hier neergeskryf. John 15 vers 12, we know the scripture, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. So we see a few things from this. It's a commandment. It's not optional. We need to make the effort to love. It's not optional. We see that it's costly because it's asking for laying down my own self, my own life. As I've said, love comes from above through the rebirth of the Spirit. Love is more than words, but love is also more than actions. Kan ons dit weer sê? Liefde is meer as net woorde, maar liefde is ook heel wat meer as net aksies. So kom ons lees die skrifgedeelte waarop ek eintlik wil fokus vir oggend in 1 Korintiërs 13 vers 4 tot 7. So if you want to open your word there, let's read together, some of us in Afrikaans. I've got it in English here on the screen. 1 Corinthians 13 from verse 4 to 7. And we'll not be able to get to all of it this morning. We'll continue within 2 weeks. So we say, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. I want to read it again. Let's read it again from the beginning. And as we read it, I want to challenge you and encourage you to allow these scriptures to read your life, read your attitude, read your actions, read your thoughts. Ek het, kan nie onthou of ek het al hier gedeel het nie. Ek is uitgedaag toe die Here vir my begin wys hoeveel keer my gedagtes prideful is. Hoeveel keer my gedagtes unloving is. In die week, as ek by iemand en van die Here dit vir my begin wys het, sjo, is dit net asof ek het in elke situasie sien, ek is die naweek in die week by iemand en this person has the right to be angry, to be disappointed, to be bitter. Everything that has been done against this person in the natural gives us the right to feel the resentment and the bitterness and whatever comes with it. Om onregverdige ontvangs van optrede teenoor my te voel. And all wat ek vir die persoon kan sê is, and that is what God is saying to me over the last few weeks is, if it wasn't for my grace, I could have been the other person. Kan ek dit weer sê? Elke keer, wanneer ons by iemand kom wat ons te na kom, of iemand wat in die samelewing simpel en verkeerd optree, and we think, kan een mens nou so wees? Ek kan nie glo die persoon doen dit nie. Can you hear the pride in it? Can you hear the judgment in it? Can you think the self-elevation in it? En die Here wys vir my, as dit nie vir sy genade is nie, it could have been me. It's not by my own goodness or my own self that I'm not acting the way someone else does that is offending me. It's by His grace. And let that thought keeps us humble and dependent upon God. It's only His grace that brought us from that, and it's only His grace that keeps us from it. Nothing else. Mag God ons regtig help om genade te hê, want die oomblik as ons sien, dis nie ek nie, dit is God in my, dan stel het ons in staat om beter lief te hê. Want ons gaan nou kyk, wat het vraag van ons om lief te hê. So kom ons lees weer die skrif. Love is patient. So the question then is, are we patient? Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. As I've said this morning, we are not trying to define love. We are applying love to our own lives. Ons probeer nie vanoggend om liefde te definieer nie. Ons moet toelaat dat God liefde op ons lewe as 'n template sit en ons lewens lees. Daar's 'n groot verskil. Dis 'n groot verskil of ons liefde probeer definieer en of ons toelaat dat die liefde ons lewens lees. So ek wil graag, ek dink ek het so oor 9 van hulle ietsie gesê, te sê, maar wat beteken dit? So I want to start with, love is patient. En wat ek by dit wil bysê is, as we are patient, many times we suffer. Soos wat ons geduldig is met iemand anders, the body asks for patience. If we are not patient and suffer in that time while we are patient, because why are we impatient? Hoekom het ons 'n short temper instead of a long temper? Because I feel I've got a right here and I'm done wrong by. So it's slow to anger. So the question this morning for each one of us, is ons stadig om kwaad te raak? Of nie? Het ons 'n kort of 'n lang nie meer? Are we long or short-tempered? There's long suffering in this. To love, we must be able to suffer. Because in the time that we are waiting, we are suffering. Love is kind. As ons moet sê wat dit is om kind te wees, is we find ways to be useful for others. Kan ek dit weer sê wat kind is? Ek sukkel nogal 'n bietjie baie keer daarmee. To be kind is om 'n manier te vind to be useful for other people. Om bruikbaar te wees in ander mense se lewens. Companionship, encouragement and there's a kindness even to distant and people who are wrong. Ons sien, ek dink sommer vinnig aan iets wat ons laas jaar gesê het. One of the trademarks of an elder is that he is also well thought of by outsiders. Sien ons dat het kindness vat to establish that. So vir elkeen van ons is het nie net teenoor die liggaam nie. The word is clear about that. First to the body, but also to the outsiders. To be kind. How are we useful in our community? Hoe is jy useful in jou gebruik, in jou werksplek, in die skool, ook teenoor hulle wat verkeerd is? En ons jeug het baie keer 'n uitdaging met dit, want ons jeug, ons lewe in 'n samelewing waar ons eerder mekaar te nakom as wat ons mekaar opbou. En ons jeug word baie deur dit uitgedaag, because they are forming their identity in that age from 12 to 18. We are forming identity. And when I'm brought down, I want to retaliate. I'm not built up. So ons uitdaging is om ons jeug op te bou. It does not envy. So wat dit sê is, dit kompeteer nie. It does not compete. Ons lewe in 'n kompeterende wêreld. Die vraag vir oggend is, hoeveel keer vang jy jouself of jy kompeteer? Hoeveel keer gun jy nie vir iemand anders om iets te hê wat jy nie het nie? The opposite of to envy is to be joyful for someone else having something. Be blessed, voorspoedig te wees. Do we see the difference? Ek onthou jare terug, ek het baie goed met eie geboerie, dan ry ek nou daar in die Bokveld, dan sien ek hoe die ander ouens se blokke eie so mooi lyk, en dink ek, yes, ek wonder wat moet ek ook doen, dat my eie so mooi lyk, jy weet. It's just not the same thing. En weet julle hoe dit ek het oorwin, het was 'n simpel ding. As ek verby blokke ry, wat swak kolle in het, nie om my lekker te kry nie, but to start praying for that. Say, Lord, I pray for this man's onions. Will you change these slechte plekke in die land? simpel goed. Ek vang myself to envy in simple things. En my vraag is, hoeveel keer vang jy jouself dat jy envy in jou hart dra? Nie iemand anders iets gun nie. Voorspoed gun nie. Even if I've got very little, love asks of me to rejoice for those who has much. Envy ons of nie. We rejoice in others as a success and those that have something that I don't have. That's love. That's love. And how does it read our lives? Ek onthou, ek het al die story baie vertel, Dr. Malik sit eendag by my en ons kyk hoe ouers kompeteer met mekaar deur hulle kinders. En ek vra vir hom, maar hoe, wat is het met die mens dat hy so kompeteerend is? Dat ons so envious is, so afgunstig op mekaar is. En hy vra vir my die vraag, van wiese besittings het die pa vir die verlore seun gegee toe hy teruggekom het? When the lost son turned with the pigs and came back, he took his half, he wasted it, and he came back, and his father clothed him, slaughtered a calf, if I remember, gave him a golden ring, brought him back into the house, everything. Of whose belongings did he give to him? And the natural says, from the oldest son, it's all that was left, because he wasted his half. And Dr. Malik said to me, that is how all of us thinks. The reality is, we think God hasn't got enough for each one of us. Therefore, we compete with one another. We think God has to take something from the thief to bless me, because he hasn't got enough. We don't need to envy. We don't need to be in competition. God has made us different. He has entrusted different things to us. And we must be joyful in what God has given to us. And we must be able to be free from that envy. May God help us with that, loving one another in the congregation. The next thing that it says that Paul writes here is that love does not brag, does not boast. Kan jy onthou wat die skrifgedeelte spesifiek sê nie? It does not brag. Dit is nie groot praterig nie, sê die Afrikaans. So interessant toe ek vir Alsara daar by die kosse gaan aflaai op Stellenbosch. We had breakfast with them, and they invited the professor to come and talk to the new first-year students there at the hostel. And it was such a beautiful thing that he encouraged them to do. He said, will you please build up one another as you live together in this hostel? Because we live in a society where no one builds anyone else, and all that is left, I have to build myself. May we build one another, and may we not build our own kingdom and ourselves. Laat ons onsself nie oplig en aanbeveel nie. Die eerste vrug wat het dra, is it makes other people feel inferior. As you boast, as you a groot praterig, other people are left inferior. And we want to build them. We don't want to leave them inferior. So, om groot praterig te wees is om, sommer geskryf hierso, is om toekennings, accolades, erkenning te soek. En vraag is, soek ons erkenning. Hoe tree ons op? Hoe beveel ons onsself aan? Dit is baie keer so sagte manier wat we still do it. Om onsself aan te beveel. And what it does is, I'm not loving Alex when I boast myself because I'm making him jealous. And he's not able to love me when I'm boasting in myself. So, die vrug wat het ook produceer is, it makes people around you jealous. And you don't want them to be jealous. Do not boast in yourself. It is not arrogant. It has not a high opinion of self. Dit het nie een hoë siening van self nie. Dit is hoekom Paulus skryf, I have nothing to boast in except for my weaknesses. Except for my weaknesses. En wat ons sien uit hierdie, ek wil net 'n bietjie weer sien. Do you see that envy, to brag or to boast, and arrogance, all of them is connected to pride? So die vraag wat ek wil vra vir jou vanoggend is, what is the opposite of love? And my first thought was, okay, then I have to hate. But it's not. It's pride. When we're prideful, we can't love. Maar wanneer ons nederig is, kan ons lief hê. Mag die Here ons help om nie onsself, ek het in hierdie week, ek was vanoggend dink ek weer herinner, ek weet nie of julle onthou die oggend wat ons hier by mekaar was, ek kan nie die datum onthou nie, wat ek vir ons gevra het, kom ons raak net stil en vra vir die Here, hy moet, ek en Jamil het nog 'n lekker gesprek na die tyd gehad, wat sê die Here vir jou oor 2017? En ek het sommer vanoggend gedink om jou weer te remind vir die wat ons hier was, in that moment God spoke to me, en ek sien dat die woord wat die Here laaste ruk my gedeel het, die situasies wat hy my in plaas, he's starting, because God said to me, I'll teach you how to serve, and how to love. Al wat ek met uit dit maak is, I don't really know. I have to grow in it. I have to perfect it. En in hierdie week was ek soveel keer in 'n situasie gewees, where I could have defended myself, but Anshin said last week, a bond servant has no rights. He has given up to serve and not to defend himself. And pride and humility has something to do with that. Do you boast yourself? Are you arrogant? Do you envy? All of that has to do with pride in our lives. And God is calling us to humility because if we are not humble, we're not able to love. If we are full of pride, last thing about it, we don't care about others and about their issues. We just don't care. Prideful people cannot care about it. We are not patient, and ons is selfsugtig. Ons is deur ons eie dinge, word ons tyd opgeneem. Die volgende eienskap, of wat Paulus skryf, is, he does not act unbecomingly. Ek moes my Afrikaans ook gaan lees, want ek het nou gesukkel om wat beteken het, is, dit tree nie onwaardig op nie. En is my so oulik om te sien hoe dat hierdie eienskap van liefde aansluit by Korintiërs 12 en 14. Onwaardig, onordelik, ongevoelig, ons kan al die woorde, dis wat unbecomingly beteken, wat, het iemand nog 'n vertaling? Skandelik, tree nie skandelik op nie. So kom ons kyk na 'n paar plekke van hoe dat ons onwaardig optree of unbecomingly. Is dishonor. There's this. So wanneer my optrede iemand dishonor, this is what it talks about. There's no love in it. When I dishonor someone else. When I act in a ill manner. Wanneer ek, wat is Afrikaans vir rude? Oh, ek het nie onbeskof geskryf, maar het klink vir my toe te erg. Dag rude is al 'n bietjie sagter. Wanneer ek onbeskof is, wanneer ek grof optree, sonder 'n begrip en fyn aanvoeling, Filippense 1, dink 12, 13, ergens sê, mag julle liefde vir mekaar toeneem, sodat julle sal 'n begrip en 'n fyn aanvoeling hê, vir wat belangrik is. Wanneer ons in situasies is, moet ons 'n begrip en 'n fyn aanvoeling hê, and not be rude, and unorderly. We're out of line, we're unorderly. En dit is ook belangrik, want ons sien, hoe ek het gesien het in die twee skrifte, it has to do with the spiritual gifts as well. So what I see, what Paul is writing here, we can use spiritual gifts in a way that it's not loving, because it's out of order. That's what Corinthians 13 and 14 is about. And it says, orderly use of the gifts, edify, builds the body. And if it's not orderly, it means it actually breaks down. It doesn't build. So mag ons ook die Here se hart en die Heilige Gees hoor, where and what is fitting suitable with grace towards others. Kan ek dit weer vra? Wat pas, wat is gepas, en wat gee genade aan anders in 'n situasie? Die laaste drie, it does not seek its own. It's again pride. It does not seek its own. Is daar skuif nie by jou nie, Christian? It is not provoked. Dit beteken dit ontplof nie, dit bars nie uit nie. And it does not take in account wrong suffering. Om Henny se woord vir oggend. It does not take in account wrong suffering. So kom ons kyk net vinnig iets van dit. It does not seek its own. It means it's unselfish. Ons is als onselfsugtig. Wanneer ek selfsugtig is, I cannot love. En die vraag vir oggend is, hoeveel keer is ons selfsugtig? How many times are we selfish? Hoeveel keer kry ons het reg om onselfsugtig te wees? Love builds the church and builds others. Deny self and it's not building self. En Jesus sê, ek het gekom om te dien en nie om gedien te word nie. So my vraag is, hoe lyk ons optrede as 'n liggaam teenoor mekaar en teenoor die wêreld daar buite, wat lyk soos iemand wat gekom het om te dien en nie gedien te word nie? Ek moet sê, dis nogal vir my 'n plek van, dis seker 'n plek waar ek getoets word en wat ek 'n groot passie het voor om dit uitgeleef te kry. Is iemand wat ons in die huis help. Enige persoon, maak nie saak wie nie. How do I act with that person that I can serve him, although he's there to serve me in the house, and the needs of the house and the children? En hoe tree ons op oor teenoor so 'n persoon that we are serving them and they're not the servants? Ek vra die Here om my die kapasiteit en die wysheid te gee. How can I serve someone that is here to serve me 5 or 4 one day a week? En dis in die praktiese plekke waar ons die Here moet vra, how do I serve? Ek dink aan die plaas, ek dink aan die werksomgewing, ek dink aan jou tee dame wat die tee vir jou inbring. She's there to serve you at work. How do you serve her? How do we not seek our own, but we seek? Of die sekretaresse, how do you serve her? She's actually there to serve you. Love is not provoked. So dit is eienskap wat die Here ons vra om in te groei. Ek dink omtrent 'n professor in ontploffing en uitbarstings. My vrou en my oudste twee kan daarvan getuig. En as dit nie vir die Here se genade was nie, was ek seker nog steeds so gewees. En die vraag vir oggend is, do you see that it takes suffering and denying yourself not to explode? Not to say you say. Om nie iemand reg te sê nie, reg te wys op 'n verkeerde manier. Daar's natuurlik plek vir teregwysing. Daar's natuurlik plek, but is it in love? Is it building the person or is it destroying him? And we see that godly anger with Jesus when he cleans the temple. There is an outburst of godly anger. But it doesn't seek on my own. It is seeking the righteousness and the kingdom of God. En ongelukkig, is die realiteit, maar ons uitbarstings gaan gewoonlik oor die eie ek. Is daar nog iemand wat daarmee sukkel soos ek, of is dit net ek? Lyk my julle is bevry daarvan. You've got no rights and you are not defending. Dit verdra alles, dit is nie geïrriteerd nie. Sien jy hoe dat as jy nie die ander eienskappe van wat liefde is, deel het van jou lewe nie, you won't be able not to explode. Because if you get irritated, if you're seeking your own, what else? If you keep an account of the wrongdoing, the end of that is explosion. These all are connected to one another. Kom ons praat oor die laaste een. It do not take into account wrong suffering. The word account, ek het dit net eendag in graad 7 gehad, en sien ek is te moeilik vir my. Accounting beteken om boek te hou. Dit beteken om op te skrywe, wat het ek gedoen en wat het jy gedoen. En die woord sê, as ons lief het, we don't do that. We don't keep an account of anything, because God doesn't do it with you. God is forgiving you, saying, I'm removing your sin as far as the east is from the west. I don't remember it anymore. How do we love when we are wrong done by someone else? Vergifnis, anders kom bitterheid in, ons het dit vroeër vanoggend ook vir mekaar gesê. God hou nie die sonde teen ons nie. It's not remembered, there's no record and there's no account of it. Ek onthou Lisa stuur vir my 'n klip en ons twee het vinnige gesprek daaroor en hierdie klip beeld 'n prentjie uit van God wat wanneer ek voor God verskyn. En we so 'n paar ouens saam met daar met dit wat ons net vinnig oor die klip gepraat het, because this clip is hard and without mercy as I and it is towards a believer before God. And we just had to agree and say this is not in line with the scripture because God is merciful and he does not keep an account of the sin that we've done as a believer. So when we stand before him, he's not there to judge the sin in our lives. He says, I've forgotten that. I've removed it. Jesus' blood covers all of that. There's not some that it covers and others that it don't. Die realiteit is, ons het dit in F4, Denzel het dit gedeel, Benny het dit gedeel, Jolette het iets daarvan gedeel. If we keep an account, we are shackled. If we keep an account of the wrongdoing towards us, we are shackled. Die vraag vir oggend is, if we keep an account, we're not loving. We're missing the greatest commandment. It's not optional to forgive. Ons weet dat die hele woord vol is daarvan. So mag die Here ons regtig daarmee help. It's not easy to forgive. Some things are easier than others. But with God's grace, I'm able to do all. Ietsie wat ek by ons wil los, twee laaste gedagtes. Die een gedeelte kom uit Jesus se woorde uit. Belangrikste opdrag. Hê God lief en ander soos jouself. And what I want to leave with us is, dive into the first before you go to the second. Why? Otherwise we end up with the actions, but not with the source. Kan ek dit weer sê? Die Here het sommer net in die week, ek dink met Karel gedeel, hoe die Here weer met my kom praat oor 'n groter dissipline in my stilte tyd. Because otherwise I get busy with good actions, but it's void of love, because the source is not in it. I wasn't with God before I went to love others. Mag die Here ons help met dit, en die tweede gedagte is, ons ken, meeste van ons ken die gelykenis van die Samaritaan. Maar die laaste woorde wil ek by jou los. It says, go and do likewise. Nadat hy alles verduidelik het van hoe dit lyk om lief te hê, sê Jesus vir die aanhoorders, go and do likewise. En ek wil vanoggend vir ons as gemeente aanmoedig, lees hierdie scriptures weer, laat dit toe om jou te lees, and go and do likewise. Ek het die voorreg gehad, ek het in hierdie week met 9 verskillende kulture van omtrent 6 verskillende lande tyd spandeer. En in my kop dink ek dalk aan Donald Trump wat 'n uitvaardiging gemaak het, refugees are not welcome. And we've got lots to say about that. But how are we meeting the refugees in Ceres? Hoe tree ons op in ons eie omgewing? It's good to post something on Facebook and have an opinion about what Trump is doing or not. My question is, how do we reach out to real people? How do we live towards real people here? And first, I want to say it again, first to the body. First to the body. Each one of us, although you're an evangelist, you first love the body before you love the outside. It's a commandment from God. So may we be obedient to this. Go and do likewise. But let's start with the source. And start to love one another. Allow the scriptures to read you through the week, to form you and change you. May God help you, because without his help, it's impossible. Let us pray together.